For your word that is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Amen. I had this whole differently going in my mind, but it's not working out that way. I don't know how things got all messed up, but that's all right. Today we're going to talk about Job and what he did and what God did. And when I first started this, I had this message going in a whole different direction. But as God was teaching and communicating with me, he turned us into a whole different direction. And as we all know, God has different ways, and you think one thing, he's going to tell you he wants it to go this way. But I'm going to show you in the beginning of Job's life. And I'm going to start with Job chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil, which means avoided and shunned evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. In his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, in a very great household, so that this man was the greatest in all the men of East. See, Job's life was, he was a man of, he feared God, and God blessed him of all his works that he'd done, and he was the richest man in the East, but that was all about to change for Job, little did he know. Now, down in verse 6, this is where it gets interesting. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him, and about his household, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and in his substance is increased in the land. He put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath in his power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now this is. He says in verse 7, Why thou comest? And Satan answered, Going to and from the earth. That means he was looking for someone to attack. And who does he usually go for? A person who is upright, fears God, and is strong in God. This way, if he can get him to curse him and go against him, he has won. He has the power. And that's going to show the people, hey, what's this with Job, you know? And verse 10, hast thou made a hedge about him and about his household and about all that he hath? See, Satan could not do nothing because God had a hedge around Job that Satan could not, he had to ask permission because otherwise he can't touch us. There's no way he can touch us because there is a hedge around us. That's what God, you know, excuse me. Sorry, I'm just going through my mind and we'll never write it down. And after, you know, Satan left the presence of the Lord, that's when he started his attack, you know, because he had permission from God, that's when he started on Job. So everything that Job had in his household, he lost basically the ox, camels, everything was, you know, he was robbed, and as you read down, he was robbed and everything was taken. Even his sons and daughters, when they were feasting in the older brother's house, a fire came on the four corners and burned them. And this all happened one after another, because as you read, it says one servant was left, so when they came and took everything, they also killed the servants, but he left one alive to go tell Job. And it happened one after the other. It wasn't one every day, or it was constant. It was all at once. Each servant came to Job and told him what happened to the sheep, the oxen, and his family. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, when Job heard this, I mean, of course he wept. But not once did he curse God. He did not sin against God because he knew, didn't have a reason why God was doing this. But he just knew that he held his faith in God. And, you know, sure, he fell down and wept. And he asked, you know, but he kept his faith in God. He did not sin. In verse 22, as you read down in chapter 1, it says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charge God falsely." He didn't go to God and, you know, why'd you do this to me and curse God. He went and he prayed to God, you know, asking for strength. And, you know, I'm sure he asked why, as we all do. Sometimes we get an answer, sometimes we don't. It's up to God whether he wants to give the answer or not. But further down, he reveals us what he's doing. And why? So when Job did not curse God or sin against him, again, Satan came to God and asked, you know, why hast thou comest? Verse 3 of chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and perfect and upright man, that feareth God, and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth his integrity, also thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yes, all that man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy name." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." So what does Satan do? So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores, boils. Now, I never had a boil. I don't want a boil. I heard they're painful. But he was covered from head, from toe to head in boils. Now, I'm sure that was very uncomfortable. I mean, in any way I'm sure he moved, he had pain. But he did not curse God. So if things start happening to us and we start cursing God, Satan won. That's what he wants us to do, is curse God. And he wants that win. If he can break you down to the point of that where you curse God, what's happening to you, he's won. But we can't let him win. But God does not give us anything we cannot handle. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He will not go above what you cannot handle. He will not do this to us. He loves us. And now in this day and age, I mean, back then, Job, there was no blood of Christ. There was no Savior. But we, now, we have the blood of Jesus also covering us. Forgiveness of sins automatically, whatever we do. There are consequences if we don't follow what Jesus does, but he still loves us and cares for us. And we're covered by the blood. Plus, there's a hedge. Nothing can come against us as long as we follow God and accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, because there's a hedge. God loves us. His love doesn't allow us to be that, but he gives an escape through that temptation. He leads the way out, and that's just praising and following the Lord when that temptation comes or whatever. I mean, in my own life, I've seen it when I've done things for God. I mean, there was a time when I was called to be on the board, and that Sunday I accepted that position, and everything that could go wrong, I mean, it was mostly personal within the family. Our family was going through all week just one thing after another. And it was pretty difficult, and it was hard. And I'm like, what is happening? Why is this happening? And then God revealed to me, well, you took a position. You stepped up as I asked you to step up, and I did something for Jesus Christ. And that's what Satan hates. He hates when we move on in God and get stronger, because that's a defeat for him. He doesn't like to being defeated, but he already knows he is. His time is limited. And he knows that, and he's going to try to do everything he can to bring us down to curse God, and I didn't. But when that next Sunday came, with all that was going on, because it was still going on, I did not want to come to church. I did not want to come to church. I know I had to play guitar. I still did not want to go to church. I said, God, I really don't want to go. It's too much. I can't handle this. I mean, but I said to myself, I got to go. It's the only way I'm going to get through this. It's the only way God's going to bless me if I go to church. And I did, showed up, and the pastor was there, and he says, how's everything? And I said, where do I start? It's hard to come here, but I came, and then I explained to him what was going on in the family and what was happening and everything. And we prayed before we started practice. But God worked through that. Just like he did with Job, he made our bonds between all of us, my wife, my kids, a lot stronger. He rebuilt it on that. He broke us down and everything, but he built it up. Because that's his love, and through everything that we go through, he's going to be there for us. We just got to trust in him. He's always going to be there. And as in Job, at his end, after he went through all this, and his riches were doubled. because he did not curse God. He followed God, and God blessed him for it, as he's going to bless each and every one of us. That's his plan for us. And in that, just like to call Pastor Mike up and close us out.
Couple of things that Bill said really, really spoke to me, and it's very pertinent. He talked about how Job was attacked because he was in leadership. He was in spiritual leadership. And if he can have the leader who's supposed to be the strongest, the one who everyone is looking up to, seem frail and weak, everyone that follows is going to follow along. I was sharing with one of the interns at work, who facilitates groups with us. And I said to her, she's, you know, in college, in our working on our bachelor's. I said, I know you're nervous when you're up there. I know when you feel like you're insecure when you're trying to teach something. But you have to think it's not about you. It's about them. If they feel you are insecure, they will be insecure and uncomfortable. But if you present yourself, even though if you feel like you don't know anything, but you come across with confidence and boldness, they will have the security to trust you, and they will receive from you. It's the same thing when we are leaders in our home, in our workplace, or in this church. The enemy doesn't attack from the bottom up. He attacks from the top down. Okay? That's why parenting is not easy. And that's why it's so hard for some of the men to be priests of their home. Because there's so many distractions, so many things, so many false sense of responsibilities that take priority over what God really wants us to do as men. So he attacks there. Then God doesn't give us more than what we can handle. Thank you for bringing that up, Bill. But the most important thing to that is he won't give you something you can't handle in his strength. There's nothing I can handle without him. Okay? Nothing. And when something happens that is truly great, there is no way I can handle it unless I am doing it his way, in his spirit, in his strength, in his wisdom, by his principles in the Bible. When I do things God's way, there's nothing I can't overcome in the name of Jesus. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it's what God is doing through us. It is in his strength we overcome. Job overcame because he never quit cursing. He never started cursing God. He questioned God, wasn't sure why, but he never cursed but blessed and honored God. And God honored him, doubled everything he has. We want God to be a blessing in everyone's life here today, and those who we speak life into. I want to ask you to stand up with me right now. I want you to just position yourself in the receiving position. And for those that are new, that means just opening your hands up like a child would receive a gift, because we believe God's pouring out. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just receive, and we just ask that you release right now in the name of Jesus strength and recognition and understanding of your strength that is beyond our own. Because our eyes get big when we see what's in front of us. But we're asking that our eyes get even bigger when we realize what's inside of us in you. That we will overcome. We have overcome. We've been given everything we need to deal with everything in front of us. And that you are a loving, loving, loving Father that has never forgotten his children. So we just release your strength and your the recognition of your strength. In Jesus' name. Right now. Yes, Lord. What I'm feeling right now is there's somebody here who's got a very strong sense of hopelessness. So if you're struggling with that, not here to embarrass you or anything, just know God is ministering to you. Whatever you're feeling right now, it's Him. So we release hope into your life right now. That whatever you're facing, God's in it. He's going to take care of you as you trust Him. Just receive it in Jesus' name. I'm sensing also there's, if you are struggling with fear in a relationship you're in, we release peace right now. And within that peace, in Jesus' name, we release wisdom from on high to give you answers to how to work through this. Yeah, and Lord, in Jesus' name, we release ministering angels and warring angels right now to protect them. Yes, Lord. Yeah, just feeling that fear and just release peace right now in Jesus' name. No fear. We bind that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. And just receive His peace. Just receive His peace. Yeah. There's also someone here right now, you're kind of going, I don't know what's going on here. I'm not sure what's happening right now. The Holy Spirit's just revealing to me to share that sometime tonight while you're laying in bed, there's going to be a revelation poured out to you about what God's doing, wants to do in your life and is doing in your life. So just be ready. He might wake you up in the middle of the night, or it might be just as you're getting ready to go to bed. Just feel like God's going to bring a revelation right to you at that point. Thank you, Lord. Just release that right now, Jesus. In a moment, we're going to, you know, break up into our groups to pray, but I just want to make sure the work of the Holy Spirit in this way is done first.
Just want to emphasize that the way to overcome